You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. Warning. The views expressed come from men who've spent half their lives in grease-stained overalls, inhaling hazardous fluids. Before taking any advice, consider the source. This program will contain humor of a questionable nature.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, give it a shot.
You know, it's hard to do both things at the same time. This is Dave's Corner Garage. That's where Dave would normally start talking, right? But he's not right now because Dave is on assignment. We've sent him down south, and he's checking out. I wonder if he's going to be checking out some racetracks because I'm going to, what's it called? Homestead, as a matter of fact, for the final NASCAR race. It's very exciting.
But you have a really good co-host with you today.
I do, as a matter of fact. He's a guy who loves cars. He doesn't have quite the hands-on experience that I do.
Which is true.
But a lot more of, he's been a car fan his whole life.
The philosophy of the automobile.
Exactly, and all about driving and about race cars and everything like that. Norris McDonald, the previous publisher.
Spit it out.
Publisher.
Spit it out. I am the Wheels editor emeritus for the
cool.
Toronto Star.
That's great. And I've been reading your columns for years and always intriguing and always thought-provoking. And sometimes I throw it away and go, what the hell's the guy talking
What's
about?
What's he talking Seriously, about? You're not the only one. I get lots of mail.
And for all those fish and chip shops have loved you for years too, eh? And we also have...
Very
in this...
nice. Very nice.
This is okay. The bottom of bird cages. We've all...
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
we
yeah,
all
yeah.
know where newspapers wind up.
And I thought the fish and chip was a much better, much nicer kind of
Well, it's a nicer analogy. That's true.
There
but it's kind of greasy.
All right. And to make sure that we stay within the rules of the law, we have with us from Ombic, Michael Rothy. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And a little later on, we're going to talk about buying and selling and what you need to know about what your rights are when it comes to buying a car. And also, he'll tell you probably where you should be buying them from. Because a lot of people think, I'm going to save some money and get one down at the donut shop. It ain't such a good idea. And we will be talking to him right after the break. And, of course, we've also got later on in the show, we've got Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. As pretty much everybody that we did the town hall meeting at. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught it, but you can see it on the internet. And I hear the music. That means we have to go. And, of course, if you've got a call, you're welcome to call us right now. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Dave's not here.
I'm Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors. We have Norris McDonald from the Toronto Daily Star. Remember, it used to be called the Daily Star.
It used to be called the Daily Star. Hasn't been called that since about 1902, though.
Gelman, now, are you actually older than Dave now?
No, I'm younger than Dave.
It doesn't sound. I mean,
no,
Daily Star.
No, and as a matter of fact, you've been busy with the car show.
Absolutely. Presenting seminars down there, mm-hmm. representing the Toronto Star, standing at the booth asking questions. Of course, the Toronto Star booth has been a major magnet mm-hmm. during the auto show because of that absolutely incredible concept car, the Aston Martin Red Bull Racing 001.
I was disappointed when I looked underneath. There's no car underneath.
Well, it's a concept.
Exactly.
And there's no motor in it. There's no insides in it. But Multimatic uh-huh. of Markham,
yes.
which has its... finger in just about every automotive pie on the planet.
Well, they're building the Cobra.
They're building the Cobra, but they're going to build this car.
Super.
And, of course, they're turning out the Ford GT.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been in the Ford display over there, talk about a good-looking car.
Yeah.
The road version is much nicer to look at than actually the racing version.
Is it actually, it's not the Cobra, that Ford GT is not on the road yet, is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, remember, they're only building 450 total.
Right.
So they're not exactly, you know, your family minivan going down the road. But there are people who have purchased that car have started to take delivery. And, yeah, once the summer gets, I doubt very much if somebody is driving at this time of year. But as soon as the weather warms up,
we'll be seeing them on the road.
And they'll take them out for track days at Mosport, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park.
Super.
And
well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of buying cars, you know, so many people lease cars nowadays. And, you know, we were talking in the green room prior where, again, people just sort of accept that I can afford this much a month. And they've got blinders on and they're not necessarily seeing the whole picture. Michael, what can you express? Go on about that.
One of the things we try to tell consumers these days is not to be what we call a monthly payment junkie.
Okay.
It's so easy. You know, you budget on a monthly basis. You look to see how much car you can afford on a monthly basis. So let's say $200 a month. That seems reasonable. But that's not the whole story. We want people to look at the total cost of the vehicle, and that includes, you know, what the final cost is going to be. Because, of course, the term of the loan is going to impact how much you're going to pay per month, whether you're paying $200 a month for 5 years or 8 years is going to make a substantial difference. Also include things like insurance and gas and maintenance costs. Those are things that you want to factor in so there's no nasty surprises when you get down the road.
Exactly. And as well, like last week at the car show, as a matter of fact, they were giving out the award for cars with the best residual value.
Subaru. Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese generally holding their value the best. Now that also has something to do with your lease payments.
For sure. You know, and you heard our friend from Elisa Busterstock.ca talk about that, and different payment methods available for everybody. Some people pay cash, some people finance the vehicle, some people lease. Depends on what your personal preference is, how much you want to be in a new car, and also what you can afford.
Now, if people need more information about this, where can they get it from OMVIC?
So OMVIC has a number of resources available, but primarily these days everybody's using the web. So if you go to www.omvic.ca, we'll have lots of tools available for consumers. There's a consumer link, and a lot of it's very, very, very consumer friendly and graphical. So it's easy to spend some time. And our recommendation is, you know, I love cars. Cars are great. It's fun to research them. But when you're thinking of buying a car, spend 5, 10, 15 minutes before you make that purchase and do some research on how you're going to pay for the thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all know sometimes that the amount of legwork that people do is just to look at the car and say, it's sexy, I like the color, and they buy it. It blows me away. As a matter of fact, I saw recently that, years ago, the criteria when people went to look at a car was they want to know, of course, how much it costs, but they want to know reliability and the cost of maintenance and things like that. Apparently, because cars are better now to a degree, those factors aren't right at the top anymore.
You know, the interesting thing I've noticed over the years doing this is that, while you're right, cars do last longer and I think it's hard to buy a bad car these days, they feel older sooner. The technology now is such that, you know, within a year, well, how come I don't have Apple Play in my car or
exactly. Yeah. What do you mean I have to turn my head around when I want to back up? What's that all about?
You get used to it.
Yeah, no question about it. And you have an older car, too?
I do. Yeah, I have a 81 BMW 320i.
Mm-hmm. And Norris, what are you driving?
Well, I'm driving a Ford F-150, and I love it. But my question for Michael, and as editor of Wheels for many years, I used to say, you know, they build millions and millions of wonderful cars, and yet within that millions and millions, there's going to be legitimate lemons in there. What recourse do people have when they drive for a week and suddenly find that it's chugging along and all of a sudden it's not what they thought that they were getting? It's a brand new car.
So there's a couple of options. If you're buying if you're saying not a brand new car?
It is a brand new car.
So if it's a brand new car, you can go to CAMVAP. And so this is a number of the manufacturers, not all of them. It's
just
a voluntary program.
Explain to listeners what CAMVAP
is. So CAMVAP is sort of an arbitration process. And what they'll do is you purchase a vehicle. If you have some problems, you try to get it corrected by the dealership and the manufacturer. And if they're unable to do it, you can go to CAMVAP and they'll arbitrate. There's certain recourses that they'll give you to get your money back.
Right, and the owner has to be reasonable. I mean, you know, as much as, you know, your car is brand new, I had to learn that when I worked at the dealership right away you have to be compassionate because the person just bought the car. Maybe it was just last week and now it won't start and you're kind of ticked off. That's a nice way of saying
it. Just a little bit.
But exactly, but you have to be reasonable. You have to understand that things go wrong sometimes.
Sure.
And as long as the dealer is trying to help you, which I'm guessing they probably are going to really want to.
Probably.
They're going to try to alleviate the problem and get you back on the road because they want you to be happy with that car and buy another one. But CAMVAP, of course, is if you get no satisfaction after going back so many times, they're there to help you.
Yeah. We also offer a complaint resolution process as well where we'll step in and try and mediate between the dealer and the consumer.
Now, this is on the used car side, though.
This is on registered dealers. So used cars, new cars, if they're registered with OMVIC, you're protected.
And that's the important thing. I don't know if people heard, but it's got to be a registered dealer. I don't know if you can hear the music, but we do have to pay some bills, so we're going to have to jump out. And we're going to be back with my guests and more right after this break.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. In today is Alan Gelman taking the helm, along with Norris McDonald from the Toronto Star and Michael Roth from OMVIC. We're going to take your calls shortly. Back to you, Alan.
Thank you. We've got three ladies standing by, as a matter of fact. All right. We're going to talk to Maria, who's online, too, who's got a mechanical question. I'm guessing, Maria, what can we do for you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a 2009 Honda Civic with about 106,000 kilometers. And I'm just wondering, is it time to change the transmission and brake fluids?
By all means. Is it automatic, the car?
It is.
Yeah, definitely you want to change the transmission fluid, and you want to change the brake fluid as well if it's never been done. Both are things that will make the car last longer, make it more reliable. And again, new tranny fluid will make a big difference in the way the car drives.
When they change the transmission fluid, they do it all at one time, or do they do like a little bit and...
Well, normally if they take the drain plug out and drain it, you're right. They're only going to get maybe 2 or 3 liters. And in terms on the labor side of it, it's really not that big a deal. So I prefer that rather than doing a whole power flush, which a lot of places will like to do because you can disturb some other stuff. And again, because it's so inexpensive, you may want to do it now, and then maybe a year or two from now you could do it again. So you're going to get more of that bad fluid out. All righty?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Maria. Take care.
And don't forget, if you get any kind of transmission challenges, you can go to MrTransmission.com. They can plug in the location that's nearest to you, and off you go. You can flush your way to a weekend.
And listen, and if it's a question about whether it's working properly or not, they do a free road test, so you can't really go wrong with that.
He missed that, Norris.
I did.
I ran over his bald head.
He's concentrating.
I know. He's very focused today.
All right. We're going to go to line three because we've got Delilah on the phone, and she's got a question about leasing. What can we do for you? Hello.
Oh, Lila.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Lila. You got a question?
Oh, hi there. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, I just leased the car last week, and they brought it to me brand new. Brand new. And when they brought it to me, I looked on it. It was 58,000 kilometers. Now, is that supposed to be 58 if it's brand new? Isn't it supposed to start off at zero?
Well, almost. 50. So, sorry, at 58,000 or 58 kilometers?
Kilometers. 58 kilometers.
Yes.
58 kilometers. Okay, well, what kind of car is it?
It's a Hyundai.
Okay. So you know what? You answered the question right there because you have to understand that car came from, I'm guessing, Korea. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so it's built in a plant where absolutely when the speedometer or odometer went in the car, there was zero mileage. Okay. But then it got driven off the property. It got driven to a place where the docks, where the car had to go onto a ship. And then when it came across the ocean, so, you know, and who knows, maybe they take it for a test drive too. And ultimately the dealer's job as a mechanic who works in a dealership before, when you're doing a PDI or pre-delivery inspection, you know, you put the plates on the car, you've checked all the levels, you made sure the wheels are tight, and now you take it around the block yourself. So you could very easily put 5 or 10 kilometers on the car. Yeah. So at that point, you know, that's how the miles got on there.
Yeah, it's
very common.
Yeah,
very common.
Yeah, so it's totally normal.
Okay.
All righty. Lots of luck with it.
Used cars. Curbsiders. When the weather gets like this, people are out shopping around. Is this a busy time of the year for you guys?
It can be. We're actually probably one of the busiest jurisdictions in North America in terms of curbside enforcement. We recently did a survey, and we found that about 25% of all ads, private ads, are actually by curbsiders.
Now, just explain quickly for people who are not regular listeners, what's a curbsider?
So a curbsider is somebody who's in the business of buying and selling motor vehicles but is posing as a private seller. So typically what we'll find is they'll purchase really, I'd say, questionable vehicles.
You're going to say... The other word.
Smooth. I like that.
Caught himself, right?
I was going to say shady, but
shady,
anyways.
There you go.
Flush. You can have flush and shady in the first half hour.
I've been listening and the jokes write themselves.
There you go.
But yeah.
But
so
there are people who are not licensed.
They're not licensed.
Buy crappy cars.
And they're not going to tell you that the truth of the vehicle. I will say, however, when we compare ourselves to other jurisdictions, you can see upwards of 40-45%. In other jurisdictions of ads being by curbsiders. So we're quite effective, but you're never going to get that number down to zero.
So the whole idea, of course, is that but you try to get the curbsiders off the curb, right?
We do, and some of them can be pretty bullheaded about it. We have one individual who we charged him with curbsiding. He's spinning back the odometer, selling damaged vehicles as if they were brand new. While we were in court with him, we caught him a second and a third time. Ultimately, he was sentenced to 28 months in prison.
So these guys do go to jail eventually.
They do. They do.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing because they shouldn't be doing it. I mean, like you say, they're being quite deceptive, always lying about the cars. And as much as people like to save money nowadays, or they always like to save money, you're better off going to a registered dealer, a licensed dealer, because then you have some protection. Because, you know, if you buy from a curbsider, a lot of times you can't help them, correct?
You are protected. We don't help if you buy from a private seller. You are protected if you buy from a registered dealer. Some people prefer to buy from a private, and we do have tools on our website to help those individuals identify a legitimate private sale from a curbsider.
All right, super. And after the break, we're going to be talking to Norris, who's going to be phoning someone special. And he's a Canadian, and
and he's in the Daytona 500.
Yeah, baby. There you go.
We'll be right back.
February 14th.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage, and my name is Alan Gelman. Beside me is Mr. McDonald from the wheel section of the local newspaper and working at the car show.
Absolutely.
This is the last weekend.
Well, last weekend, and it has been a record-setting car show.
Yeah, we were there last week, and they opened the doors, and like these hordes of people came in.
I was
going to
say,
eh?
They set unbelievable records. Mm-hmm. And these are legitimate records, by the way. These are not crowd estimates.
Right.
These aren't freebies. These are tickets that are sold that, or perhaps dealerships are giving to some of their customers.
You didn't use the same people that Trump did for the inauguration, eh? Because there was millions of people.
There were millions of people. I was down there. No, I'm okay. But yeah, just absolutely delightful. And it set a benchmark that I think is going to be a challenge to surpass. Mm-hmm. But I have every confidence that Jason Campbell and his team are going to just make this show bigger and better every year.
You know what? When people can go there and see the things that are happening in the future, they can see prototypes. They can drive cars that aren't even available.
I've got to slip something in here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
No.
First of all, 16 prototypes. Right. 16 concept cars, rather.
Right.
And that is more than you will find at any other auto show that's going on just at about this time. Mm-hmm. And here's another key thing. With the exception of Tesla, and we still haven't figured out why Tesla decided not to come this year.
Right. They're across the street.
Every manufacturer doing business in Canada is at that auto show. And that is not the case, or was not the case, at the Detroit Auto Show.
A lot of people take a pass on it.
That's right. Yeah. Taking a pass, and it's getting worse by year. Mm-hmm. Paris, four of the major European automobile manufacturers skipped the Paris Auto Show this year. So I think, number one, the Toronto Auto Show is doing something right by added attractions of things like Auto Exotica.
Right.
This year we celebrated 50 years of Formula One Grand Prix racing in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last year we did the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. We got art and the automobile. 150 years of manufacturing and collecting in Canada in the context of the history of the country. Mm-hmm. And so I think people go to the auto show first and foremost to see the new models and to see what everybody is offering and what's coming up. But you know what? It's also an entertainment experience for
them. It's gorgeous, and it's really neat when you see people moved. You know, they see vehicles that they grew up with.
You know,
I coveted that car when I was a teenager. I mean, you've got cars from the 70s there now.
Right.
You know, the old muscle cars. And the cars and art. I mean, when they didn't let us into the build to the display when we were there for media day, but they had that big old boat out front, that Harley Earl car.
Right.
That was it looked like about a football field long.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, absolutely. Try to park that sucker at downtown Toronto in three or four parking spaces.
All right, well, we're lucky enough right now we happen to have DJ Kennington on the radio and on the telephone, I should say. And go ahead, Norris, if you want to introduce him.
DJ, congratulations. You are in the field for the Daytona 500, the first Canadian in 29 years to make that field. DJ, first of all, tell us how excited you are. And number two, what took us so long?
Oh, man, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just really excited and awesome to have this opportunity.
And why do you think it took 29 years for us to, for Canadian stock car driver to actually get into the Great American Race?
Well, it just took me a long time to get it figured out, that's all.
Well, I guess people don't realize the costs involved in this, eh? It's not like you can just pick one up on Auto Trader and then just drive her down, you know?
It's just an opportunity with a good race team. Obviously, you can't just go and buy a car and go try to run the Daytona 500. It doesn't quite work like that. So, I mean, to be able to work with this race team and so on has been a really good deal for me.
Now, DJ, did you buy the car or parts of the car from existing teams? Is that how they do it?
Marty Gaunt owns a race car, Gaunt Brothers Racing, and he bought the cars from Michael Waltrip Racing.
Michael Waltrip, yeah. So is it a Toyota you're driving then? It is a Toyota that you're driving then.
Yes, it is.
Okay, super.
DJ, tell us the delightful story of how this came together. I understand you weren't feeling too well. You wanted to, it was the night of the Castrol Christmas party. You were going to stay home. Your wife said, no, we're going. And that's when your longtime sponsor, Castrol, said, hey, DJ, you want to go to the Daytona 500? We'll bankroll you.
It was like that. Like I say, I wasn't feeling the best, and I didn't really want to go. And the wife told me, you better go. It's a few hours. You might as well go.
So they didn't have to ask you twice if you wanted to run in Daytona.
No, well, I kind of told them that we had an opportunity to run the Daytona 500, and they're like, really, you do? And I was like, yeah, we have an opportunity. I said, I'm trying to find a little bit of sponsorship and see if we can't put a program together. And well, they started talking back and forth to each other, and next thing I know, Dave stuck his hand out and says, well, let's go see if we can't run the Daytona 500. I was like, well, that's worked out pretty good. So I made a few phone calls, and we got the ball rolling, and here we are.
And a lot of people may don't follow racing necessarily, but you've been running the Pinty Series in Canada for a number of years now?
Yeah, since it started, basically it was CASCAR before NASCAR, and we started that. In 1993. So,
right. And you've won the series title a couple times.
Yeah, we finally did. It took us a long time, but we got it done. And, I think we've got 26 races we've won between the two series. And like I say, it just, I think, proves my age with how many starts and how many races we've won.
Well, it does take an awful lot of experience. And that was another question I had, too. You know, our local tracks are maybe, half mile or 1 mile. You'll be racing Daytona as a super speedway. Have you had any experience there?
Oh, it's just three times with the Xfinity cars. I was there, and the last time I think I was there was 2008. Mm-hmm. So I had a little bit of experience, but nothing like this with a cup car. So it's kind of all new to all of us. And the guys have done a great job with the car. I mean, they've worked their butts off getting it ready to go. And it's so far so good. I mean, I think we have a decent car. And with Laura Colin Castro and TRD behind us, we're going to try to put on a good effort on Sunday.
Is there a Canadian flag on the car?
Absolutely, right beside my name.
There you go, super.
Right. Marty Gaunt actually is Motors Canadian as well, so it's kind of a cool deal.
All right, well, DJ, I want to thank you for joining us today. We want to wish you the best of luck. Stay safe. Stay near the front of the pack. And
what's
hopefully
the number of your car?
Oh, it's 96. 96.
Yeah. All right.
When I'm signing autographs, I always got to remember not to write 17.
Yeah, right. You are in a different series. Best of luck, DJ. You're going off 28th, 40-car field. Stay cool. Sit back. Be a little cautious and make it through to the end. And you never know. As you said yesterday when we were talking, the last couple laps, all hell always breaks loose at the Daytona 500. You could wind up in victory lane.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah, we're good. Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Bring it home.
Take care, DJ.
Bring it home. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll take your calls, and we have some more information coming up for you before the break is finished up, along with Norris McDonald and Alan Gelman and Mike Roth from Omvic. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stay with us. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. Here he is sitting in the wider chair for Dave. Much wider.
The chair's Gelman. It's worn out. There's so much room back here.
Well, let's not go there.
All right. You know what? We're going to set it up and speak to Mr. Lant in just a couple minutes. But right now, I'm going to go back to the phones. I've got Arthur in Etobicoke, who's got a problem with brakes. What can we do for you, Arthur?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little while ago, I used to back out of my garage, and one back wheel used to groan like crazy. Now, I took it in to get it fixed. They told me it was just rust accumulated from the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they cleaned that all out, and about 2 weeks later, now it's just squealing like a bloody pig every time I back out of the garage in the morning. Can you tell me what's wrong with that?
Are you a farmer? Do you have pigs in the driveway? Or?
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's not a little pink four-legged person. You know what? It is quite common that brakes do squeal when they're cold, because I'm going to probably ask, what I'm going to ask you now is that when you go forward, you know, and you hit the brakes a few times, you don't hear the noise anymore, do you?
That's right.
Okay, and again, backing up, even after it's warmed up, there's no sound, correct?
No, I only does two or three times in the morning when I back up early in the morning.
Well, you know what? The most important thing is that you did get it checked and it's done. And, you know, that you do have brakes. They are working properly. And I can tell you that it's a normal kind of sound. You're just going to have to live with it.
Right.
Alrighty?
So it won't do any harm at all.
Not what's just to your ears. That's about all.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
You're very welcome. I hope the SPCA wasn't listening, eh?
No.
All right. Then, Mr. Lant, ready?
Jeff Coy will be coming on from Land Insurance in about
exactly.
5 minutes.
All right, perfect, perfect.
Follow
perfect.
Your script. You're getting worse than Dave.
I can't read and talk at the same time. So you guys backed the Pinty series, is that right?
We did, actually. We're not this necessarily this year, but we'd have in the past the Braves Auto and Matthew Scannell, mm-hmm. who's, I think he right. won as one of the youngest driver.
Yeah, no, he was the youngest rookie of the year in NASCAR Canada history. And when I talk about NASCAR Canada history, there have been several sponsors of the National Stock Car Series. Right now it's the Pinty Series, and hopefully it will remain the Pinty Series for years to come. I think it was a previous sponsor when Matthew won that award. But no, he did terrifically.
Yeah, driving NASCAR before he had a driver's license. Yeah.
Question well, now, are all the series, is it just Ontario or does it go further than
no,
that?
No, no.
So it goes across the country.
We
predominantly sponsor in Ontario. It's mm-hmm. Been a great resource for us in terms of sort of getting the Omvic message out there to consumers, because obviously people who like cars watch NASCAR.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They love the racing. And it's,
and Alan, it does. It goes from they haven't been to BC for a couple of years, mm-hmm. but they go from Alberta through Saskatchewan, Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, Riverside Speedway, which is just outside of Antigonish.
Isn't racing how you make a small fortune out of a large one?
That's the name of the game. Unless your name is Roger Penske.
We'll probably agree, but he's done well. The fellow's done well.
He's done well.
Okay. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to be talking to Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. So if you've got a specialty car, you may want to stick around. We'll be right back.
How's that for timing?
Exactly. Unique needs. I like that.
See?
I like the value part of it, okay? And I'm sure a lot of people do. A lot of people listen to our show. They're looking to save themselves some money. They want to make sure they don't get ripped off. And, you know, on the phone we have Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. Jeff was down at the town hall meeting that we had.
Yeah,
along at with the Canadian Auto International Auto Show.
Exactly.
I had
with my other two
in.
Guests here as well. you guys have special insurance for special cars. Tell us all about it.
Yes, we do. We specialize in classic car insurance, so it's insurance designed, you know, to meet the needs and the uniqueness of classic car owners who, you know, they don't drive their car every day and they're not commuting with it. So it's designed specially for that and priced accordingly. So it's on average, it's about 45% to 50% less than regular auto insurance.
Now, that's for coverage for the entire year, correct? It's not like you're only going to bother taking it for the 6 months that you're owning it, you're driving it.
No, our policies are year-round, and that's how the rates are factored in. They're kind of prorated. We know that the cars aren't used, you know, 12 months of the year, 7 days a week, so it's based on, you know, limited use.
Now, you know, I've got an email from one of my my listeners because we were talking a couple of weeks about a classic car, and he was taking exception to the fact that that one wasn't a classic, for example. We do see a big difference in evaluations, right? You could have the same, you know, 1972 Mustang. One could be worth $5,000, the other one be worth $500,000. How do you come to a price or an agreement in terms of how much the people are going to pay for insurance?
Well, we started the conversation with the client and, you know, go based on, usually it's a client calling up with their, just bought the car. Mm-hmm. So we start at the purchase price and then we have resources that track all of the values through all the auctions across North America. And that gives us that, you know, a market value, current market value, and that's what we insure to. It's an agreed value with the customer. And then and once you, we settle on the amount, it's guaranteed. We ask for pictures, copy the ownership, and and on occasion we will ask for an appraisal if it's something that's you know, very unique or we just can't come to an agreement on a value.
Well, because it happens on occasion that someone buys a car and hasn't done any homework. I mean, they don't really know a whole lot. We had a fellow on the show from the Model A Association, and he was saying that, you know, a Model A at the time, looking pristine, was only worth about $10,000 because there were so many of these vehicles. Yet, you know, you get somebody who's uneducated says, "Oh, I love that car. How much do you want for it?" And buddy asks for $20,000, and all of a sudden he thinks he's, you know, he's getting a deal, and he pay for that, and it drives the market crazy. So I guess you must have a situation periodically where someone says, "Well, this is what I paid for it," and you're sort of scratching your head, going, "Wow, I hate to inform you, but your car is not worth anywhere near that." Does that happen?
Yeah, it does. It does. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but it does happen. And, you know, it's a conversation we just have to have with the client. And like I said, if it really comes down to we're not meeting, then we ask them to get an appraisal, you know, get a third party, take a look at it in case it is something unique that we're missing. But the other time, you know, especially with, that's a good example, a Model A where, you know, it's the ultimate classic, you know, antique car, but they really haven't moved in value in 15 years.
Right, and there was billions of them made. It's like how much is your Beetle worth? You know, not a whole lot of dough, right?
Yeah.
In a worst-case situation, people have, you know, taken the car out. They were in a parade. They were in a historical car race, for example, and they've damaged the car. How do they go about getting it fixed and making a claim?
Well, they contact our office to initiate the claim, and then we have a specialty claims adjusting company that looks after the classic cars. Mm-hmm. And the biggest benefit there is the client chooses the shop. You know, so you go where you had work done before, or where someone in your club is recommended, and you know, and your car is you know, fixed back to its original state, you know, up to the value that we've agreed on, you know, in the policy.
Well, that sounds good because, you know, a lot of people are personally involved, you know, in their restoration of their vehicles. Maybe some people actually did work themselves. But certainly they're going to trust the shop that they've used to restore that car, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and if it's a case where the person, you know, has done all the work themselves, then we'll make arrangements that, you know, for them to do it as well and compensate them to get the car back together.
All right, super. And if people want to find out more about land insurance, how do they do that?
Call our office, 1-800-461-4099, or go to our website, landinsurance.ca. You can get a quick quote in 15 seconds.
Whoa, that doesn't take long.
Nope.
24/7?
Yep.
Wow. All right, Jeff, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it was great having you down at the car show. It was nice to meet you in person.
Yep. Good to see you.
He's a classic too, eh? All right, we got to run. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with some calls. I've got Dina on the phone who's got a problem with rust, I think. We're going to take her call and yours too. Give us a shout right now. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage, and the auto show continues on. Did you get a chance to go down there and put your name on the special car?
No.
You can write your name on the car.
And what happens?
It's a 150-year-old. It's a commemoration for the whole deal. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, base of the escalators. Can't miss it.
Well, everything was 150. It was 150 since the first car was made in Canada.
Absolutely. And it's there, by the way. It's a steam car.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing is that it was one of the first of its type made in the world. You know, we're not talking about just Canada here. Mm-hmm. We're talking, And we I'm talking about the Canadian entrepreneur spirit. You know, it's amazing to think about all of when they invented the car and the car got going. Everybody knows about Henry Ford. Well, you know, up here in Canada, we had the Tudhope up in Orillia. We had the McLean brothers down in Truro, Nova Scotia. They were kind of doing the research and doing the building in tandem with everybody else. But we had such a small population in those days that they couldn't sell enough of them to keep their head above water. And so they all kind of went bankrupt by the end of the First World War.
That was too bad. And of course, they had to be somewhat robust because we didn't have roads.
That's true.
You know, all we had was cart paths, really.
That's right.
All right, we got a lady on the phone. Her name is Dina, and she's got a problem with rust, I think. Dina, what can we do for you?
Yes, good morning. Nice
good morning.
To talk to you.
Thank you.
I have a 2005 Dodge Caravan.
2005, yeah?
Yeah, and it's rusting at the bottom, you know, the doors and at the bottom of the car there. I took it to a body shop where I usually go, and it said, no, it will cost too much to, you know, keep the rust in control.
Right.
I was wondering if it was worth for me to check out at the Crown Rust Control, you know.
Well, what you could do, and the rust that you see, is it just bubbling of the paint, or do you actually see big pieces of the car falling off?
I think I see some pieces of the car that, if I touch, it's going to fall off.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, well, push it off.
Well, Dina, you're certainly welcome to go by Crown, and what they will do is they'll put it on the hoist. Hopefully they won't break it. And they're going to look at the rust, and they're going to try to tell you if they can help you or not. If they cannot help you, of course, there's not going to be any charge.
But there's not going to be any charge just to go see them, right?
That's correct, just to have a look. It's not going to be a charge at all.
Right,
because,
right.
You know what, they don't want to take your money if they don't feel they can help you at all.
Good, yeah, even this, my body shop, they didn't want to take my money. They said, no, it's too costly, maybe it costs you $1,500, and the car is probably not worth that much, you know?
Well, you know what, they're trying to be nice. I mean, we have the same thing in the repair side of things, you know, where where repair is worth more than the vehicle,
it
really doesn't pay, you know. Sometimes people have a sentimental value.
Yeah, I know, because my husband passed away 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, sorry.
So I really want to keep that car. It runs beautifully. The car just runs beautifully.
That's right. But unfortunately, they rust in this country, so we're going to have to say goodbye. But you know what? She could keep the car in the garage and then just buy another one because, needs to get around, right? And Amvik, if people want to buy used cars, they should be buying from where?
We always recommend that they buy from a registered motor vehicle dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have protections for them in terms of compensation fund up to $45,000. We also have complaint handling service. I was just speaking with Norris before one of the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, we returned approximately $1 million to consumers.
And that is an amazing amount of money.
It is, too. I mean, in the old days, you could bitch and complain, but you didn't necessarily get anything.
Right.
But now you can. Now, in terms of, because I just had a caller on the other, not a caller, sorry, a fellow in the studio. Where am I?
It's
my job. A fellow at the shop who was complaining about some noises, and he had 100 Ks on the car, and it was already 8 years old. And I said, and I'm thinking, perhaps you should have just bought a new car. Because at the end of the day, I really couldn't find a whole lot wrong with it. There has to be some pretty catastrophic issues with it if you're buying it used. Like, you just can't take it back to the dealer and say, I've got some noises or I've got some little, you know, niggly things, right?
It's always going to be contextual, right? So if you're buying a one-year-old car versus a 10-year-old car, it's going to be a much different context in terms of what your reasonable expectation of that vehicle
is. Right.
Yeah, and you know, we try to approach it from that context and be fair both to the purchaser and to the dealer. In fact, we were just looking at the statistics, about 1.2 million motor vehicle transactions from our registrants last year. We had 1,000 complaints. And with those 1,000 complaints, we returned $1 million to the consumer. So, you know, the vast majority of transactions actually go well. But when it doesn't, it's nice to know that there's somebody out there looking out for you.
Exactly. And, you know, you find out after the fact that there's a lien. I heard that if a car gets stolen fast enough, the authorities don't even know about it. And you could possibly buy it. And you're out of pocket. But again, if you buy it from a registered dealer, there is a compensation fund so you can get it back.
Well, you know, if it's stolen, you have to go to the insurance company, but that's a different type of issue. But,
No, that you bought a stolen one is
fair
what I'm
enough.
Saying. You know, hey, you know how much money I saved?
It does happen. It does happen.
It happened to a friend of mine who bought a what was alleged to be a 6-month-old car from, and she got the ad out of a well-known publication. I don't want to slander anybody here.
Yeah.
And she lost every cent.
Wow.
Because
terrible.
It was a stolen car.
Well, next week on the show, we're going to have Jeff Coy. He'll be in the studio from Lant Insurance. So if you've got a specialty car and you need some special questions answered, you can give us a call. Sitting beside me will be Brian Mask, who's a race car driver, automotive writer as well. Dave will still be away. Oh, my God. And I want to thank my guests for coming in today, taking time out of their busy day. Norris, you're going back to the show?
Back to the auto show for the last 2 days.
Always a pleasure having you in the studio.
It's been great being here, Alan.
And you're going to be watching the race tomorrow or what?
I don't know whether I'm going to be. I might have to record it.
DJ is going to be
watching the Oscars.
Our Canadian flag could be going over to winners.
You know, well, duty calls.
There you go. All right, and thanks, Michael Rothy, taking time. You being the director of legal services, you a big a shot there, eh?
Well, you know, as he's the emeritus, I guess I'm the embarrassitis.
All right, I want to thank Jeff, and I want to thank the man behind the desk who's doing a job on the knobs. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, drive safe. We'll see you next week.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.